Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion with Logan and Covenant Presbyterian Church. It's great to be together. It's great to pause just for a wee while and open up the Word of God, spend some time with us. It's a joy to have you with us today. If you're a visitor, a very warm welcome. If this is the first time you've checked in, you are definitely welcome. And if you're back here again, you're welcome as well. I guess we're all welcome. So just welcome to everybody. Even if you're watching this in 3 years' time and in the future, and you're looking back into the past and wondering what all the coronavirus fuss was about, well, this is us. Welcome. It's good to be together. We're together to open up the Word of God, aren't we? We come together to open up His Word. If you're checking in for the first time, we're working our way through the book of James. And before we turn and start reading that, let's close our eyes and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you are a wise God and that all that you do is good. We pray now that as we open up your word, that you would give us understanding, that we would benefit from it, that we would turn to it and live. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles with you, I'd invite you to open up to James chapter 4. I'm going to be turning to James chapter 4. We just started our way in chapter 4 yesterday, and yesterday we looked at chapter 4 verse 1 to 3. And now we're looking at 4 to 6. I'll be reading from the ESV if you want to follow along. Otherwise, open up whatever translation you've got in front of you. Chapter 4, starting at verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us, but He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Well, welcome along, brother from Virginia. It's good to have people from all around the world checking in, opening up God's Word together. Well, the book of James. These three verses, actually this section from verse 4 through to verse 10 are probably one of the hardest hitting, most forward calls to repentance out of any of the epistles in the New Testament. And I think I'd be willing to say probably the hardest hitting out of any of them. Why do I say that? Well, if you've traveled with us through the book of James, you'll remember the tone that has been used by James throughout the whole letter so far. And for a reminder for those who haven't been with us this whole time so far, I want you to just flick back with me to the first chapter. And I just want to highlight a few verses, and I want you to hear the way James speaks to his readers. 1 verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers. Verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Chapter 2, verse 1. My brothers. Chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my beloved brothers. Verse 14. What good is it, my brothers? 3 verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. And verse 10. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers. My brothers, my beloved brothers, my brothers. Do you hear the tone and the affection and the love that just sort of flows out from James as you read through these chapters? And what leaps off the page is chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterous people. And it's kind of like a smack in the face almost. You know, you could imagine being the reader and you're reading it and he's writing to you directly and it's saying, I'm his brother, I'm his brother, I'm his brother, I'm his brother, or I'm his sister, I'm his sister, I'm his sister, I'm an adulterer. You're like, whoa, wait a second. I mean, could you imagine writing a letter to your husband or wife, you know? I'm a male, as you can assume pretty safely with the beard on my face, but, you know, my dear wife, I love you so much, dot, dot, dot. My dear wife, my dear wife, my dear wife, my beloved wife, you adulterous woman. Wouldn't go down too well, would it? James is intentionally trying to shock because he's deeply worried, deeply concerned over the state of this people's heart, over what's going on in the churches, over what's going on in their own lives. And so he calls them, and it's interesting, he doesn't actually call them an adulterous people in the Greek. It's interesting because he uses the feminine form, and what he's saying is you're an adulteress. You're an adulteress. Hi, Daniel. Hey, Daniel. Good to see you. Oh, and Mia too. Hey, Mia. Sorry. He calls them an adulteress. And you sort of ask the question, don't you? Brother, 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 female adulterer. Why the shift to feminine? And it's actually really, really important. And from this section, up till here, James has used quite a lot of sort of Hellenistic phrasing. He's used a lot of Greek-type ideas. But now he really sort of drives into the Old Testament. And one of the themes that's prevalent throughout the Old Testament over and over and over again as we think about the people of God is the people of Israel being the bride of Yahweh. But she was never a faithful bride, was she? She was promiscuous. She was an adulterous woman. She would turn to other gods. And Yahweh would reach out to her and call her home, call her back to her loving husband. And James picks up, I think, he picks up on this language which these Jewish readers would have picked up on instantly. And he calls them the adulterous people. He calls them the adulterers. What have they done? Like an adulterous woman, what have they done? Well, verse 4, they've cheated on God. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? What's James saying? You were a friend of God. You were beloved of God. You were the bride of God. And you've abandoned him to go to the world. You're cleaving yourself to the world. We saw yesterday that they were being selfish and thinking about themselves and loving themselves and worshiping themselves and rejecting God's ways. Murdering and killing and coveting. And James says, you're marrying yourself to the world, effectively. It's one or the other. It's like Jesus says, you can't have God and money. You're always the servant of one master. Either money or God. And so now James says to his readers, you're either a friend to the world or you're a friend to God. And at the moment, you're forsaking your husband, you're forsaking your friend, you're forsaking your beloved one, and you're cleaving yourself to the world. It's despicable, isn't it? I mean, we think it's despicable, don't we? When this happens in life, Have you been betrayed by a close friend before? I have. Isn't it despicable? How do you feel when your good friend decides to hang out with everyone else instead of you? How would you feel if your husband chose another woman? How would you feel if your wife chose another man? I mean, even in a simpler sense, how do you feel when your husband looks at another woman inappropriately? It cut you to the heart, doesn't it? And everyone knows it's wrong. There's a reason affairs are hidden and not in the open, because it's despicable. And yet this is what the readers have done with God, by turning and pursuing the world. And my dear viewer, can you honestly say you haven't done the same thing? Can you honestly say you have not turned to the world to obtain the things that only God gives? You remember, we saw yesterday that they were turning to the world for their passions, for their hedonism, for their joy, for their satisfaction, rather than coming to God. Can you say you've never done that? I can't. But no, my sinful heart, as we sing, is prone to wander. Isn't that true for all of us? Prone to wander. Yes, Lord, I feel it. We're so easily distracted. You know, a bird flitters past our view, a trinket drops in front of us, and we go, ooh, what's that? Infinite joy is before us. And as Piper says, we're distracted by seashells. We must beware, because God is a jealous husband. Have a look at verse 5. Do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? Do you think, James says, that God wrote that he's a jealous God for no reason? God is no man's fool. You could do a lot of things to me. You could hurt me in a lot of different ways. And you know, I don't generally get upset about things like that. I don't know, it just rolls off my back in a sense. But if you dared to do anything to my wife, that would be a completely different story. Then my jealous anger would be kindled. How much more so for God? He loves us. Jealously loves us, but jealously loves our love and our joy in Him. And so when we turn our joy towards another thing, His jealous anger is kindled. We must not fool around with this. There's no such thing as just toying around with a bit of sin, toying around with a bit of idolatry, toying around with a bit of adultery, toying around with another woman, another love, another joy. It's God or world. God will not lightly let his bride walk away. But like in the picture of Hosea and his bride, the bride is returned, but the bride is punished. And Israel is punished before she returns. We must be very honest about the reality of God. Yes, He is a merciful God, abounding in love, steadfast love. But He is a jealous God. But lest you are given to despair, you know, you think, well, my heart is kind of going the wrong way all the time, Logan. I'm always turning to these other things. What hope is there if God's jealous? If God's got a jealous anger, what hope do I have? I turn towards sin every day. God gives grace. And here's the thing. James, he's slamming his readers. He really is. He is slamming his readers. But with his right hand, he's grabbing them and drawing them in. Have a look at verse 6. This is just, it's beautiful. Have a look at verse 6. But he gives more grace. He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know what James is saying, don't you? James is saying, if you would but return. It's the same message as the Old Testament, isn't it? What did God say over and over and over and over and over again to Israel? If you would but return, I will heal you. And James is saying, you're cleaving yourself to the world. God is a jealous God, but if you will return, He will give you the grace that is needed. You say, I can't return. James says He gives you more grace. He lavishes grace upon you. Or like John says in John 1, He gives grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. He pours more than you could ever need. And there is but one thing needed. Humility. A humble heart. Not a proud one, because the proud man, the proud woman fights back. Oh, you're a jealous God. Well, I don't want anything to do with you then. But the humble God, like the humble adulterer, recognizes their brokenness and turns back to the one he loves. You see, ultimately, this is a question. It's a question of what loves you the most, the world or God? Are you going to cleave yourself to the world? That's like cleaving yourself to a prostitute. Or are you going to cleave yourself to your great husband, Jesus Christ? He is fair. He is loving, He is jealous, He is kind, He is grace-filled, He is merciful. He is the very embodiment of love. He is God. The exact imprint of God, our great high priest, and He is the one who stands here today and says, I offer you grace. Will you return? Well, will you? Let us beware of the jealousy of God, but all the more, let us return to our first love. He loves us. He truly loves us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a jealous God. But you are a jealous God who gives grace upon grace. Lord, we do repent. We do acknowledge that so often we turn to this world. We turn to money. We turn to relationships. We turn to humans. We turn to success and pride and self-glory, self-promotion. Lord, our hearts are prone to wander. We pray that you would give us the grace that we need to return to you, that we would humble ourselves before God, that we might be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. It's great to be together, opening up God's Word again. Look forward to getting back together with you again tomorrow at 3:30. It's Thursday. In New Zealand, it's 10 to 4, and I'll see you tomorrow at 3:30. God's richest blessings. Goodbye.